right now. If you have your Bibles, I'd like you to turn to the book of Luke, chapter number 17. Luke chapter number 17, and I'm going to use our text, the first six verses. Interesting thoughts. And it's good when you're reading your Bible, too, that you kind of try to get the situation that is happening around as this time of the Word of God is being given to us. Of course, this time, this is coming directly from Jesus Christ, our Savior, and he's talking to his disciples, and he's giving them some very special things here, and then they, in turn, ask him a question. So let's just read the first six verses of chapter 17 of the book of Luke. It says, "And then he said unto, unto his disciples, it is impossible that offenses will come, but woe unto him through which they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea, than he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him." Now, think about that for a second. You're here talking with the Lord Jesus, and he gives you some almost impossible commands. He looks at you and talks about the fact of how terrible it is if you're not doing the right things, if you do the wrong things to the certain little ones. And then he says, and if you've got a brother, for example, Bryant, forgive me for interrupting you there. You got to do it at least seven. I can do it seven times, and you still got to forgive me because I just read it. Amen. Amen. So, but and the God, and you do that, and he's saying, these things are impossible. They're looking at him, and so the disciples come back, and look what they say in verse number 5. And the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. They say, Lord, you want us to do these things. Oh, my goodness, we need more help. Increase our faith. And then Jesus says this to them in verse number 6. And the Lord said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey thee. They want their faith increased, and yet Jesus says to them, even the minutest of real, honest-to-goodness faith could move a mountain. Even the teeniest bit, like a grain of mustard seed, can do great and mighty things. I want to take time to you tonight to think about three different things: faith, vision, and courage. Let's pray together for a second. Father, Lord, tonight, will you open up our hearts? Will you allow the Holy Spirit of God to have full reign in the hearts that you've redeemed by your marvelous grace, by the shedding of your wonderful blood? Will you open up our hearts to a point to where we can see great things from you, that we might be encouraged in our hearts and lives, that we might be strengthened, that we may walk out of this place saying, I am so thankful that I'm a Christian. Lord, help us to just have a great evening together tonight. And Lord, be with our pastor and his family, and be with the ones that couldn't be with us tonight because of sickness or whatever reason it may be. But Lord, the ones that are here and the ones that are together, oh Father, bless us in a very special way. Thank you for this time. Thank you for allowing me to preach your word. Bless it now, I do pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, it's an amazing, amazing thing, but many people live with a fear that they cannot continue on in their spiritual lives. They get, I don't have enough faith. I just really can't get through this. It's just too tough for me. Lord, what am I going to do? Often, sometimes, it's just the cares of the world, the lives that we live, the things that go on around us all the time, just burden us down in so many ways, it becomes very, very difficult to really, honestly, seemingly think that we're serving God and doing what God wants us to do. And we have this problem, and it doesn't matter whether we're young or whether we're old. We have this problem of just wondering about our own personal faith and having the strength and the faith that we need to have from Almighty God to be the servants that God wants us to be. You know, some only get just a very short time to serve God. Andrew Murray McShane is one of my favorite preachers. He was a Scottish preacher. He died at 29 years of age of tuberculosis, but yet God used him in a mighty, mighty way. There's people like David Brainerd, if you ever read about him, the missionary to the Indians in the early part of America, died at 29 years of age as well, with just terrible problems. He got sick and died very young. You say, how can they last and die so very, very young? How many of you ever read the book Borden of Yale? That's a book every Christian ought to read, Borden of Yale. Of course, the Borden Milk Company, he was the heir of the Borden Milk Company, and he didn't want to be the heir of the Borden Milk Company. He wanted to be a missionary for Almighty God. And so he said, that's what I'm going to do. Gave up everything, traveled to Egypt to learn the Arabic language because he wanted to be the to minister to the Muslims in India. And while there, he got sick and died. Didn't have much of a life at all. And then there's John and Benny Stamm and so many, many different people we could talk about. Just didn't have much time in their life at all to serve God. And yet they had such tremendous impact in their lives because they understood what faith was. They understood what it was. Then we have others that seem to go on forever, like me. You know, some just seem to go on forever. Are they ever going to get done? Sometimes they're that way, you know. John Wesley, think about this. John Wesley preached every day when he was 88 years old. Every single day. John Wesley used to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning, go out in the field and begin praying, and by 8 o'clock there'd be 5,000 people there waiting to hear him preach. At 88 years of age. Charles Weigel, we sing his song all the time, I Would Love to Tell You What I Think of Jesus, wrote his greatest songs from 80 to 95 years of age. Some people last for a long, long time. Some people don't last very much at all. It's just many of our contemporaries, like Dr. John R. Rice, a long, long time, Dr. Lee Robertson, just different great, great men. And now I got this little thing in my notes here. It says, I'm going to give you a quote here. The proconsul continued, swear, and I will let you go. Reproach Christ. Polycarp turned to the proconsul and boldly declared, 86 years have I served him, and he has done me no wrong. How can I blaspheme my king who saved me? And they burnt him at the stake at 86 years of age. But God gives some people long lives, long periods of service. Some people short lives. Some people, we don't know. But faith, this wonderful, wonderful thing. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. You see, the thing of it is, folks, our lives count, and they should count. We need to get over this fact of, I can't do anything for God, or I can't live for God, or I don't have the ability to do this for God, or, you know, some of these other people are so much better than I am. Listen, let's get over that. Jesus looked at his disciples and he said, have faith in God. And in Mark chapter 11 just said simply, have faith in God. See, the trouble is, our lives should count. They do count and they should count. We have a masterpiece guide. We have the Word of God. We can't have a better guide than that. We have a master teacher. The Holy Spirit of God lives within us and will teach us every single day. Someone once just said this, give us faith to believe, visions to see, and courage to do. Faith, vision, courage. I think, folks, if we could just, take a little time in our life to incorporate these three things in our lives, God could even use us a lot more than we think God can use us in any period of time. But what about this thing called faith? In in Mark 11, 22, and Jesus answered and saith unto them, have faith in God. He just simply said, have faith in God. Faith, what are we going to have faith about? What kind of faith can we have? What is our faith supposed to do? First of all, I think we need to have faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ, of course. And we have to understand that he's the Savior that saved us, and he's coming again for us. But I believe we have to get to a point in our lives where we have faith in his word. We simply believe the word of God. We simply believe this book that we hold every day, that we read every day, hopefully we read every day, this book that we look to every day, we come to hear it preached every week. We just need to have faith in the Word of God. The Bible says, now faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. To just simply have faith in the Word of God. I think that's where so many people fail. They say they believe the Word of God, but they don't realize that it is the infallible Word of God. It's that which cannot fail. It's that which is absolutely perfect. I'm going to tell you something, folks. If God said it in that book, it's true. If God said it in this book that we hold up and says this will happen, that's exactly what it is. We can say what we want. We can cry as much as we want. It's God's word. It's exactly, it's infallible, it's perfect, it's true. Have faith in the Word of God. Never doubt it. When God gives you a promise and you see that promise and you get a hold of that promise and you say, I'm going to believe that promise, believe it. Just simply believe it. Faith. Such a simple word, but such a hard word to get a hold of. I use people in my ministry because I'm in my 53rd year of ministry, and I had different people that I've run across. When I was in Korea, we had Dr. Cha. He was a medical doctor. While I was pastoring a church there in Korea, him and his wife, he worked 6 days a week in the hospital in Seoul, Korea there. He was the fourth best pediatrician in the entire country of Korea. But he came to our church on Sunday morning, every single Sunday morning, drove 35 miles to Yongsan Baptist Church, stayed there in the Sunday school, taught a Sunday school class. When we taught the Koreans in the Sunday school class, stayed there all day long in the church, brought his food with him with his wife so he could be there for the Sunday evening service, and that was his only day off in the week. We had 15 people saved while I was there in the church. Dr. Cha led 12 of them to the Lord. Never said a word. Quiet man all the time. I had an experience with him most people never have. I wasn't feeling too good, and he said, I want you to come to my hospital. Went over there. It was as big as Decatur General Hospital or bigger. Big old hospital. And he was the head of it. I went in there, and those people came in, and me and Dr. Cha walked in. They started bowing to us. He took me to, in 3 hours, I had an EKG, an MRI, and 14 other things, I think, in just a short period of time. Just a sweet, kind, loving man. A man full of faith and full of godliness and just wanted to live for God. Faith, that wonderful thing that will turn people to do things they think they cannot do. Touch people's hearts that they cannot think they can touch. Oh, don't sell yourself short. Have faith in God. Just simply believe God. Luke 19:10 says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Have faith in God's plan. He has got a perfect plan. People can get saved. People do get saved. We can preach the gospel. We can witness to people, and people will get saved. The Holy Spirit of God will work in their lives. They will come under conviction. They will want to get saved, and they will get saved. And if we will start believing that in our church and start praying about that in our church, God's going to send people here. God's not going to send people to a place that people don't believe him. He can save people. He does save people. He wants to save people. He's got a plan. That is his plan. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. God has a perfect plan. You know, it's in four verses. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. We need to believe the Bible, and then we need to believe God's plan. God, aren't you glad somebody witnessed to you? Aren't you glad you heard the word of God from somebody? Aren't you glad that there came that time when the Holy Spirit of God just gripped your soul? Aren't you glad it was such a blessing when you realized I'm a sinner, lost and undone, and I'm on my way to hell, and you saw that lovely, lovely fact that God shed his own blood for me, and God paid the price for me on Calvary's tree, and that he died on that cross, that horrible, horrible death, went to that cruel and empty tomb, laid in there for 3 days, and then rose up triumphantly and walked out of that grave. And he said, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Amen. And he'll save people. Let's believe it. Let's not. You know, we sat there and had a testimony service Sunday night. And we get up and say all these things. Do we really believe what we said? We talk about how God blessed this and how God did this, but do we really believe it? You see, that's where faith comes in. It's so easy to talk, but how about believing? Believing. Where God just changes your heart and changes your mind. When great, great things happen, we just simply tell people about Jesus. And folks just want to get saved. Oh, let's just simply have faith in the blood atonement of Jesus Christ. You need to believe in this. You've got to start believing that through preaching, God changes lives. You've got to start believing. Look what the Apostle Paul said. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but to them, unto us which are saved, is the power of God. You see, the Bible plan is to save people from hell and then present a bride to himself. Don't you love those words in Ephesians chapter number 5? We read them, but then we don't really understand what they're saying sometimes. When he says this, husbands, oh boy, we love that. Love your wives, as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. But that's, look what he's getting to, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it. Who he's talking about? He's talking about you. He's talking about me. He's talking about those he's redeemed by his precious blood, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it might be holy and without blemish. We need to believe in the plan. We need to just have faith in the plan of God. You see, God says there's a hell. And there is a hell. If there's not, then the Bible I just said to believe is a liar. The church is a farce. And the preaching, do you realize? You're wasting your time. But it's true, and it's real, and it works, and God wants us to get a hold of it. Have faith in God. Believe that. Believe that. But you need to understand something. I don't know how I can get this across to you. God has a purpose for every life. God has a purpose for every single life. Not just preachers. Not just missionaries. Not just Christian teachers. But for each and every life, God says, have faith in me. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And then he says, but he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So I get my faith. I begin to believe God. You know what God's going to do then? God's going to give you a vision. That's the trouble. When you get faith, there's a problem. When you start believing God, God starts opening up things to you. And you're going to start having a vision. Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Here's what's going to happen. When we begin to really believe God, And when we start taking his word by faith, and when we start taking his plan by faith, we're going to get a vision of a lost and dying world. We're going to get a vision of the fact that outside of the doors of this blessed church that we're sitting here right now is a world full of people who are going to spend eternity apart from God in a place called hell that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death, which is a terrible, horrible, awful place. It's real. We need to get a vision of that. I've been reading the book of C.T. Studd. C.T. Studd, now this is crazy, because I don't know, if you've ever been to any part of the British Isles or Australia or any place and ever watched a cricket game, that is the stupidest game ever invented. It makes no sense. The score ends up, a guy will stand up there and bat and score 160 runs. One batter. He'll bat there forever. As long as they don't knock that stupid little peg off behind him, he just keeps batting away. If he can keep hitting that ball away and keep him from knocking, and it makes no sense because they don't run all the way around the bases. I sat up in Canada watching one for 2 hours and never understood the first minute. Well, C.T. Studd was the greatest cricket player in England in the 1800s. Number one. And he didn't have time for God. But then God got a hold of his heart one day. And he surrendered to go to China. And then he ended up burning up his life in Africa for the rest of his days. And when you read the story of that man and how he searched the scriptures, how he loved God, how he walked with God, how you see that, you say, what have I ever done for God? What's ever happened in my life with God? But he got a vision. He got a vision of what God could do. And he began to do it, and God began to save people, and God gave him a great and mighty ministry. You see, the thing of it is, God wants us to have a vision. Can you see the fact that in Hartsville, Alabama. How many people live in Hartsville, Alabama? 10, 11,000 people? You know, probably most all of them need Jesus. Most all of them need to hear about Jesus. Most all of them need to get an understanding of what it really is to see there is a heaven. See there is eternal life. See there is a place called hell. We need to get a vision. You see, the Bible plan is to save sinners from hell. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God is not willing at all. What a joyful, joyful thing it is to see people just want to start to get saved. People starting coming to church. People coming through the door. I read a story one time. I don't know how true it is. I read it, and I know where the place is. I know where the New Hebrides is. I know where the Hebrides are, which are islands off the coast of Scotland. But the New Hebrides are down in the Pacific Ocean. And there was a little island, had some people on it, and a missionary had been there, and they'd built a little chapel, and they were having church there, but nothing much was going on at all. And one night they were having a prayer meeting, kind of like we're having here right here tonight. And they decided just to not have any preaching, but just have some praying. And they prayed, and after a while they got tired of that, said, we just didn't seem to be working. And then one man, just began to pray. And God was with him. And God began to, when the man was praying, you could see there was something, the Holy Spirit of God was there, and something different was happening. And he prayed in the there was a stillness in the church as he prayed and called upon God to save the people of the New Hebrides, to see the people saved, to see hearts changed. And this man had a vision of that. And when he finished praying, the people stood up and they were weeping, and it was just a time in the church. And they looked out the windows, and down by the church, down the road there, they saw some lights, and as they're watching, the lights got closer and they got closer, and all the townspeople were coming up, weeping and crying, we need your God, We need you. And they came into the little church, and God began to save people, and God began to show them. God, folks, it can happen with a vision. Without a vision, the people perish. We've got to have a vision, folks, a vision for a lost and dying world. Oh, dear friends, Paul the Apostle got that vision. In the book of Romans chapter 1 and verse 14, he says, I'm a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome also. And he says this, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. He got that vision of the world. Folks, let's get a vision. Let's begin to pray for Hartzell. Let's begin to pray that God will touch people's hearts. Let's begin to pray that the Holy Spirit of God will reach out and touch people, and their hearts will start aching in them, wondering, I need something, I may not know what it is, but we know what it is. And God can bring them. And God will bring them. And God will touch them. Oh, not everyone, but he'll touch some. You see, God can save to the uttermost. That's what he said. He can save to the uttermost. You see, the bottom line is, do you believe God can use you? Or do you just sit in that pew and think that's all I've got to do? Or do you believe God can actually, really, honestly use you? No matter who you are. I don't know about you guys. Maybe I'm just a dummy. But every time I hear a missionary or when I read these stories, I'm ready to pack my bags and go. And I can't even walk across this stupid street. But I want to. I certainly want to. God wants to use you. God wants to bless you. God wants to, I'm going to tell you this. If you've never had the wonderful privilege of seeing somebody get saved as you witness to them, you don't know what this Christian life could be. When you see some sinner who was on their way to hell, and all of a sudden it dawns on them as you're talking to them about Jesus, and they see their need, and they say, I'd like to get saved. And you give them the gospel, and you tell them how to do it, and they bow their head. In a simple childlike faith, they ask Jesus to save their soul. And that's not, I'm sorry, that privilege is not given to a simple few. It's given to all of us if we get a vision. But here's the problem. I've talked about faith and how that we ought to get faith, and I've talked about vision. But the problem is courage. Faith, vision, courage. Yes, we want to do, but we have problems. You see, we need courage. I got to reading through my Bible and thinking about this and how much God wants us to have courage. There was a young man in the Old Testament. He followed his leader around for 40 years. He did whatever he could do, and every once in a while he'd pop up in the first five books of the Bible. His name was Joshua. And every once in a while he'd pop up, but he was always there to help, but he never was in the forefront. He was just there. He had another friend with him. His name was Caleb, and they're the two ones that went in to the land and the only ones that came back with a good report. And, of course, Caleb's my hero. At 85 years of age, he wanted to kick everybody off a mountain because he wanted it. But when Moses, one day, God told Moses, you're done. Your 120 years is done. You've had 40 years with Pharaoh. You've had 40 years in the backside of the desert. And you've had 40 years with me. And now you're going home and you're not seeing the promised land. You're going up on Mount Nebo, and I'm going to take you home to be with me. And God sends a young man by the name of Joshua up. And here's what he said to him in Joshua, in Deuteronomy, in Joshua chapter 1, verse number 6. Be strong and of a good courage. God said, Moses, my servant is dead, and you're going to lead the people. God says, now be strong and be of a good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers I gave them. Only be thou strong, and then God says this, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all my law, which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it from the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Wow. And then he says in verse number 9, have not I told you? Be strong and of a good courage, and be not afraid. You see, God understands us. And God understands that, yes, we have faith. We only need the grain of a mustard seed. And yes, we have a vision. We get that. Every single one of you gets stirred in your hearts at different times. And you know, I should do this for God, or I know God wants me to do that. But the problem is courage. Just the ability to step out and do it. The willingness to take that step that just doesn't seem normal. To just make that move that you've never, ever made before. See, we need courage all the time. We need courage for life's problems and difficulties every day, don't we? Courage is something we all need to have. In the psalmist says this, wait upon the Lord. Psalm 27, verse 14. Wait upon the Lord and be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. So how do you get courage? You wait upon the Lord. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. We need to get a hold of the fact that, how do we get courage? How do you get faith? Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. How do you get a vision? You see it in the word of God. How do you get courage? You listen to God and believe God. You just trust God. In 1 Corinthians 16, 13, God said, watch thee. Stand fast in the faith. Quit ye like men. Be strong. God says, just plan on getting busy for him. Let your faith work. Let your vision open up your eyes, and then beg God for the courage to do what God's called you to do. You know, a Civil War soldier was dying on the field and he had no hope, and he called for a preacher. And he asked, the preacher asked him, are you afraid to die? And he answered, no. He asked if he's prepared for what was to come. And he said, that's what scares me. You see, there are people out there who are afraid. And we've got the answer, folks. But we don't have the courage. And we're afraid of what they may say or what they may do. At the beginning of my message, I mentioned the fact of Andrew Murray McShane and David Brainerd. And then I mentioned John and Betty Stamm. Does that name ring a bell to anybody? John and Betty Stamm were a young couple in the early 1900s. They both went to Moody Bible Institute. And John and Betty Stamm just both felt led to be missionaries to China. They didn't know each other until they met at Moody, and they met And both of them had the desire to go to China. And Betty went first. And a year or so later, John followed. And then they got married over there. And after they were married, they had a little baby girl. Well, they were learning the language and stuff. And finally, this is 1931, 1932, they finally got their first station in China where they were going to begin work with the people. It was a little isolated place, but it was just a period of time when Mao Tse-tung and the Chinese communists were beginning to start their uprisings in China. And there was a lot of vandalism and a lot of problems going on in different places, and they had to be careful. And they were there just second, third month of their ministry there. And one day the mayor or whatever you call it, the leader of the village, came and says, "We've got to run. The communists are coming." Well, John and Betty didn't get away. And they came into their house, and John looked at them and offered them to make some tea, and they knocked him down and tied him up and carried him away, and then took Betty after him. And then they, as prisoners, they told him to write a letter to their mission board and ask for $20,000. And he wrote the letter knowing it wouldn't do any good. And he was talking to them, trying to bargain for their lives. And a baby started crying. And they started to hit the baby. And a little Chinese man who was there begged him, says, "Don't you do that." And they said, "Would you rather die instead?" And he looked up at him and said, "Yes." And they hacked him to pieces right there on the spot. Then they carried John and Betty Stamm out and took him over to the post office. And there we began to be interrogated by the leader of the communists. And John and the communists started to get on the other Chinese, and John tried to stand up for them. And the leader of the communists just took out his sword and cut John's head off. And Betty fell down there crying, and he severed her head as well. Young missionaries, 3 months, and off to glory. But they had faith. And they had a vision to serve God. And God gave them the courage. When they looked at John and they said, "Where are you going today? Where are we going today?" He said, "I don't know where you're going, but I'm going to heaven." John and Betty Stamm. David Brainerd. John Wesley. People you know. You people. Me. We need faith. We need vision. We need courage. I want to leave this life seeing Bethel Baptist Church under my pastor, seeing people walking down this aisle, seeing people professing Jesus as Lord and Savior, seeing that baptistry water rustle because it's so busy, seeing so much life and action around here, we can't wait to get here. Faith. Vision. Courage. God can do it. God can do it. But He wants to use you. He wants to use me. Let's be like the disciples. Let's look at the Lord and say, "Lord, increase my faith. Give me a vision. And then, Lord, give me the courage to step out and do it." Let's pray together. Father, Lord, I love you so very much, Father.